Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, the greatest teacher on Through the Word. Wait, everyone knows the greatest teacher is Chris Langham. Or is it someone else on the app? Or does it even matter? Well, it mattered to the disciples in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me." Kids are amazing, and Jesus knew it. I mean, he should know it. He did design them, right? They're humble, gentle, ready to forgive, happy to serve, willing to go along with the group, and trusting. So trusting that Jesus gives a warning to those who would exploit that trust in verse 6. "If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come." Therefore, we need to protect the vulnerable or children in our midst. Admittedly, it's frustrating when we hear stories of people taking advantage of children. But Jesus gives a haunting reminder that nobody, and he means nobody, gets away with hurting kids. "Better a millstone hung around your neck than what happens when I get a hold of you," Jesus says. Now, for those who are upset by that, I remind you, those are the words of Jesus. Oh, slightly paraphrased, of course, by me. My job is not to mute or muffle them. Besides, that's how I like my Jesus, one who cares about kids and doesn't mess around when it comes to protecting them. It's verse 10 that's a little bit confusing to a lot of people. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Admittedly, this passage is mysterious, but it may mean that the angels of those little ones who believe in Jesus have first priority to God's throne, like a special access pass. And when I say the angels of those little ones, I mean angels assigned to them. We're not sure if that's what it is, but whatever it is, Jesus wants us to know kids are special. Verse 12, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." Still talking about kids here. Jesus is specifically talking about a lamb, as lambs often wander away. Maybe you care deeply about your kids, but Jesus is saying here, God cares more. "In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." We forget that sometimes, but remember, your kids are on loan to you from God. Now, I adopted my children. I am their father, but am frequently reminded that someone entrusted them to me. And that's true of you too. God entrusted your kids to you, and if they wander off, God is still seeking them. What about that wandering away? What about sin? What about people that do stupid things? Well, I've been that person, and I'm sure you have too. We've all wandered off and been in need of correcting, just like our kids. Jesus gives us a famous passage for us to ignore. Wait, what's that? You're not supposed to ignore it? Okay, well, you see, the thing is, so few people ever obey it that it's just kind of assumed. So, silly me. Verse 15. "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over." You see, this is the one people seem to have such a hard time following. When someone sins, go to them, just you and them, and talk them through it with a heart of love. Verse 16, but if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Okay, so Jesus is talking here about church discipline. I get so sick of people letting the authority part be the overriding concept in this passage, because it's not. It's last resort. The context here is how much God cares for people. I've had to enact church discipline many times, but I'll tell you something. I bend over backwards when I'm doing it for the people to know that I am pulling for them. I'm on their side, just like God is. That they need to repent and that God loves them. In fact, they need to repent because God loves them. That even the discipline is for them to find their way back to God. You see, the focus is on restoration. And Peter has the same question we all have at this point about boundaries. Verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Well, I've lost track of how many times Jesus has forgiven me, but I'm pretty sure it's more than 77 times. Let's continue on, because Jesus tells an absurd parable about a man who's forgiven a huge debt, but won't forgive a small debt that someone owes him. When the king hears about it, he locks that foolish man up. Verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. Again, folks, the words of Jesus here. I don't think it's meant to make you feel good, so I'm not going to try. I think Jesus said this to get you to think about forgiving people just as God forgave you. Freely you have received, now freely give. Every day, we're told to pray, forgive us our sins just as we forgive others. And there is a connection repeatedly in the scripture. We must forgive others if we expect our sins to be forgiven. For us not to is as absurd as the man in the parable. And again, Jesus hasn't been messing around in this chapter, so I don't think we should either. I think his lesson is plain. People who are forgiven, forgive. So forgive me for saying that I was the greatest teacher on Through the Word, and I'll forgive you for not thinking it in the first place. Deal?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.